Hello, I'm Amanda McNulty, and this is a Making It Grow Extra, one of our podcasts that we hope will bring information that will be interesting and useful to you. Today, I'm speaking with an extension specialist, urban entomologist, Dr. Eric Benson. Eric, I live in an old house, but I think even in new houses, sometimes under certain conditions, people have ant invasions inside the house. I had one that was behind the hot water spigot in the upstairs bathroom. Mm-hmm. And it was very annoying because when you wanted to take a bath, all these ants came pouring out. So, and then of course people have them in their pantry sometimes.
Yes.
So let's talk about what to do if that happens, because it's a real nuisance.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And yeah, we often call them nuisance ants, and usually it's not much more than that. However, sometimes these ants that trail in large numbers will get into very sensitive areas like hospitals, nursing homes, food preparation areas. So it's not good when they move in. You know, overall, Amanda, ants are very beneficial. And we have about 200 species in South Carolina. You know, sometimes I think some people think there's fire ants and there's carpenter ants. And my grandmother used to say piss ants. Of course, I'm not really sure still what that is. But there are about 200 species. And again, most of them are beneficial or benign. We actually want them in our environment because they occupy space. They occupy niches that keep out other pest ants.
Oh, okay.
But there are some species like fire ants that can, once they get established, they can really take over an area. Or some of these other species, these what are generically sort of little black ants, a lot of people call them sugar ants.
Yes.
And they can come into your home in very large numbers. Going behind hot water pipes and heaters, that's a classic, actually. So you're not alone.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You're part of
and
the club.
Some people call them grease ants, I think. Too.
Yeah, well, you'll get some grease ants. And so there's some ants that prefer sort of greases and fats.
Right.
There's some ants that do prefer carbohydrates or sugars. But we've done a lot of studies with ants over the years at Clemson, and ants will change their preference too. So there might be a time where they are feeding on sugar-based or sort of sweet-based food because they're really just getting energy for themselves. But if they're raising a lot of brood, if there's a lot of young, they may be foraging more on proteins to feed to the young. Because remember, a lot of people don't realize this, ants, when they come out of the egg, they don't look like a little tiny worker ant.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a grub. They're a more of like a mosquito maggot or a beetle grub. They're a little tiny grub, and they have to be fed and go through the stages before they pupate and then become the workers that we see.
Well, you said that by taking certain steps relatively early in the season, we might be able to prevent having large infestations later that are hard to control. So tell me what we as homeowners can do now to get some relief later on.
Well, one of the biggest problems across the state is the Argentine ant. Guess where the Argentine ant came from, Amanda?
I'm going to guess it came from Argentina.
Brilliant guess. And it came in the United States around the turn of the last century, when you and I were born, so around 1900, and came in through New Orleans and spread throughout the Southeast. And that's the number one little black ant that I see, and usually the one people are calling the sugar ant, the Argentine ant. The problem with the Argentine ant is on our properties, their colonies will have multiple queens, hundreds of queens, and there can be literally millions of workers, millions of workers. So you almost can't put out enough, say, ant bait or insecticide spray to control that many. These ants, though, in the wintertime tend to coalesce around structures, around the base of trees, and reduce in numbers. And so it's a little later now. I like to recommend usually around, depends on where you are in the state, but early March, mid-March, maybe to late March, to, if you've been having these little ants every year and there are just so many, March is the time to hit them with treatment, not September or October when their numbers tend to be so large and they're all spread out. So But May is okay. I mean, spring is better now than waiting. So
something that I can do as a homeowner.
Well, sure. I mean, the ant baits are very effective. Pretty much any of the baits that you get at the hardware stores, big box stores, grocery stores. I tend to like gel baits that look almost like come out like clear toothpaste. But there's granular baits. There's liquid baits. Ants like to drink a lot of liquid. The problem with baits is you have to have enough of it, and you have to put them where the ants are going to find it. So it's very important to read the labels, place them where they need to be, and just realize you may kill 1,000 ants with your bait, and that's great. But if you have 1,000,000 out there, you still have 1,000,000 out there. So
Eric, I know there's a fire ant bait, and then there's one that's for regular ants that I think is about the same product, but in smaller granules or something. Is that effective at all? Or are you talking about things that have to be applied right within the house or around
the house? That's the problem. Yes, you're right. There's the granular fire ant baits, which are very effective. In a way, actually, fire ants are easier to control than some of these little black nuisance ants. We have found that those granular baits, on some species, it's effective, but on other species, they just don't prefer it, or it's not a time when they prefer it, so you just never know. And this is why people should, if they're really having a problem, try to get the ant actually identified, because if I know that it's not just some little black ant, but it's an Argentine ant, odorous house ant, acrobat ant, dark rover ant, then I can give you more specific information about, oh, this is what this species prefers and that species prefer. So some of those granular baits, they're easy to use. And if they work, that's great. But sometimes you need the gel baits or the mm-hmm. liquid container baits, which are not as easy to use because they're more discreet units and you have to place them in the right spots. And you can use sprays. People will do perimeter sprays on their house. That's not going to so much get rid of the ants, but you're trying to keep them from coming into your house, that there's a barrier treatment that when they come onto your house, they die before they get into your house. And ants follow trails, as you know, Amanda, yes. Most ants do. And so if they can't get a trail established, but they get a strong trail someplace out in nature, then that's better than them coming into your house.
Last year, it got to the point, as I said, our house is really old and just open to the world. But I was on the living room floor doing my back exercises, and there was a trail of ants going down by the carpet, the space rug where I was lying. But I got one of those little things that you lift up, and it's got a little liquid in it, and put a couple of them out there. And fortunately, in that case, it did take care of it. And I usually have to put those in my pantry as well. I sometimes try different ones, but I might this year, if it happens, I'm going to try to capture some and send them up to y'all. Do I get like a little medicine jar with a tight lid and put some alcohol in there and try to put several, maybe 5 or 10 ants in there for y'all?
Yep. That will work. Clemson Extension offices are designed for sending in insect samples with the vials and alcohol. Actually, a small container of hand sanitizer, and I'll take all the hand sanitizer I can get right now. Hand sanitizer is 60% alcohol, and so people can get a very small amount of hand sanitizer and stick the ants in the hand sanitizer, which you're allowed to ship, and it actually holds the ants in place.
Would I try to get a piece of paper and get ants on that, because I can't squish them and send them to you? You need them to be intact in the
Don't squish them. Or much to the dismay of my wife, you could put insects in a baggie and then throw it in the freezer and kill them that way, and then they're easier to manipulate.
It's a good idea. Well, so even if it is an Argentine ant, if we talk to you, we can, or talk to our clips, whoever is going to help us, we feel like we might be able to get some control and get a handle on this.
You can get a handle on it. And so if the numbers get out of control for your listeners this year, if they're really out of control, probably a professional is the best. They're going to have the products, the equipment, hopefully the knowledge to at least hold them at bay, knock them back. But we have a program really where the main treatment would be the springtime, early yeah. springtime, is that's the time to really do your control efforts outdoors. And then also to a certain extent in the early winter, just when it starts to turn cold. So not quite at frost time, but close to it. That's another time to really target. Because again, a lot of these ants that seem to be everywhere, they do start to coalesce in the winter time to ride out the winter. So they're basically putting all their eggs in their one basket. Mm-hmm. And we just need to find that basket. And if we do, we can really be effective with very targeted treatment.
I have 2.5 acres. I don't know how I would find
a specific... You have a big old basket, Amanda.
I really do. One time we had carpenter ants in the house, and we found out that we had some wood rot. Is that when you would generally see a carpenter ant? Is that an indication that you might have some wood rot within your house?
Yeah, I've had the same thing. Sometimes carpenter ants are your best friends. They come in and they say, hey, your house is rotting. you might want to fix it. Although carpenter ants, we have 10 species of carpenter ants in South Carolina. Oh. But the main one is a big black carpenter ant. And that's really the only one that's a problem. The Florida carpenter ant's a little bit of a problem on the coast. But they nest usually in hardwood trees, deciduous trees. They like tree holes. And the queen, in this case, there's only one queen. She's probably out there. And then what they're using your house for is basically an incubator for the kids.
Really?
So the queen will lay her eggs in the natural nest, wherever that is. And then the workers, usually in the middle of the night, will take the larvae, and then they'll move it to a satellite location, which many times is rotted wood in someone's home, because even though your house has got some moisture damage, they actually like some of the moisture. Your home acts as like an incubator because the temperature's controlled.
Well, the temperature's not controlled in my house. The upstairs has no heat or air. So, but anyway, we did have them. And fortunately, we realized that's what it was, and we got it controlled. And, you know, Eric, one of the things that just fascinated me is that I've heard y'all talking. We even have native fire ants, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, we have native fire ants. The red imported fire ant is that. It was imported in the 1930s in through Mobile and spread. There was the black fire ant, which was also imported, which was also dominated until the red imported fire ant came in and basically took over. But yeah, there's a couple other little native species. That whole group, that whole Solenopsis genus, is actually a fairly large group of ants. It's just the red imported fire ant that causes us so much trouble.
Yeah. I mean, we lived outside as children. And those were glorious days, because it was before I never had any trouble with the native fire ants, and we could the outdoors. And that was also before the Asian tiger mosquito. And so outdoors was different in those days. But with good control and with using proper baits and using proper, sometimes we use repellents on ourselves. It's South Carolina is still a beautiful state. And I want to thank you for helping us to learn how to cohabitate with some of the other animals with whom we share the environment.
Thank you.